Parshas Kisiso. I'd like to connect this week's parsha with an event, a big event that's happening under this week, and that is Purim Kotan. Purim Kotan is Friday Shabbos. Depends if, obviously, if you're Ben Yerushalayim or normal Kofas Chaimo. And I'd like to connect, obviously, in Halacha, it's brought down, we see the end of the Shem, Shem has relevance in Halacha. And therefore, obviously, there's some kind of message we can have from Parshas Kisiso to Inyon HaDiyoma that applies at the end of the week. The Parsha begins, V'daber Hashem HaMoshe Lemo, Kisiso es Rosh B'nei Yisrael Lifkudehem. When you are Siso, when you're lifting up the Rosh of B'nei Yisrael Lifkudehem to count them, V'nosnu ish kofa nafshel Hashem Lifkud Oysom, lo yibehem negib Lifkud Oysom. In other words, here we talk about the Parsha of Machsis HaShekel. This is, by the way, Parsha Shkolim. Everyone's got to give machzis hashekel b'shekel hakodesh, half a shekel shekel hakodesh, machzis hashekel truma l'Hashem. Got to give truma to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ask all the mafarshim, what is this new truma? What is this new truma? What is this new giving of this truma? We've already done that. In Parshas Truma, we talk about asking Klal Yisrael for truma. And they gave the shefa. They gave huge amounts of gold and silver and copper and diamonds and different kinds of wool and materials. Why are we asking now again for new truma? What is this all about? And what was this truma going to? This truma was going to specifically, anyone know what this truma was going to? Specifically for?
The Korbanos?
No. The Adonim. It went specifically for the Adonim. Adonim were the sockets underneath the kroshim that held it up. That was a completely new appeal. Everything else has been dealt with, a new appeal for that. Why is it necessary to have a whole new appeal? And then what is the idea, obviously, what is the idea to have this half a shekel? What's the idea behind that? So in other words, why do we have a new appeal for the Adonim if we already had an appeal to Parshas Truma and Klal Yisrael gave generously? What's this whole new appeal for the Adonim? And why half a shekel? Strangely enough, the Gemara says in Megillah, that if you give them a base, Omer is Shlokish. Listen to this carefully. Goloi v'yodua lifnei mi shohoye v'hoye ha'olam. Sh'oma v'hoye ha'olam. It was clear and apparent to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Sh'osid homon lishkol shkolim al Yisrael. The homon later on is going to come along and pay up shkolim to Achashverosh in order to totally destroy Klal Yisrael. Lefikoch hiktim shkolehem lishkolov. And therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu put in Parshas Kisiso the chiv to give machzis ha'shekel in order to counteract the power that Haman's going to have later on of destroying Klal Yisrael through his shekel. Okay? For Haina Disan, that's what the Mishnah says, Be'echo Ba'ador Mashmim Al HaShkolim. That's why it says in the first of Ador, we start hearing about the Shkolim. Very nice. You know, Haman gave Shkolim, and therefore we have Parsha Shkolim. What was Haman doing? Haman was doing something that was paying Achashverosh to wipe out a whole nation. How does our Machzis HaShekel connect with Haman's act they want to destroy Klal Yisrael? And if it wasn't for this, in other words, if it seems to say, if it wasn't that we have Parsha Shkolim of giving half a shekel, Haman would have been successful. What's the idea? What is the connection between Haman's Shkolim that he gave to Achashverosh to the fact that we mechuyev to give every single year a half a shekel for the Korbanos, or in this case, the half a shekel for the Adonim? What's the connection? So Ramesha has a beautiful piece in Droshes, in Drush Chof Dalet. And he says a principle that we all know. And he brings it out in a very, very powerful way. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created the world, we all know, is Lehitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in order, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the definition of good, that he wants to do good to us. In other words, he wants to be Mashpia us, he wants to pour upon us every blessing he has. So it says in Moshe, let's take money for example. Wealth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the real master plan, wants to make every single one of us extraordinarily wealthy. Beyond our smallest and even largest, you know, dreams, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make us wealthy. That is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rotzen is to be lehitiv. So he said, let's take a wealthy person and let's see how he acts. Let's take a person who has no morals. And he makes it rich. Let's see how he acts. And he said it doesn't take much to see that when a person is given money and he doesn't know what to do with that money, it makes him into an absolute mushkus. It corrupts him and he makes him worse than any other person on the street. A person becomes a womanizer, a person becomes a gambler, he becomes a drug addict, he becomes a completely involved in it's impossible for him to satiate his tremendous thirst for power. He said, look at the biggest, most powerful people in the world, kings. Yeah, they have kings. And these people have tremendous wealth. They have castles, and they have summer castles, and they have horses, and they have cars. And what don't these people lack? And what happens when somebody's nasty to them, or somebody says something bad? You can make a world war. They say there's no fight like a family fight. Right, the First World War was between three distant cousins. Yeah. It was King George in England. It was between Kaiser Wilhelm in Germany, and the Tsar Nikolai in Russia, which were all family. Right? No war, no fight like a family fight. How many millions and millions of people were killed for a bit of extra land? What is this? A hunger for power. It's impossible to get that down. He says, "Kiyudua kol zel yedei ktsas nachayim." Anyone knows, and there's a little bit about life, how money and power corrupts. It's a fact. Somebody sent me an email recently about a person who, an English northerner, Geordie, who, I think he got £24 million from the local lottery. And within a few years, he had managed to squander it, and now he's in debt. And what he managed to do till then, he trashed houses. He destroyed every relationship he had. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. For a bit of power, there's mafia godfathers. Somebody dares say something nasty to them or their family, that's it. There's a shootout. There's assassination. What people don't do with a little bit of extra money and extra power. Said Ramesha, Rabbeinu Shalom, you want to give money. And you gave money to a lot of people. You gave them money. Look what it did to them. That's the hatred. Is that what you're giving them money for in order to do good for them? You're doing the worst to them possible. So he says, this is learnt from Haman. Haman was an absolute prime example of somebody who made it from the small league to the major leagues. Haman was somebody who worked in the stable boy. He was there grooming the horses, and eventually he was an eved to Mordechai. And eventually he made it bigger and bigger until he became the most powerful man in that huge world empire. 127 countries, a huge world empire. And what happened to him? Everybody, kulam mishtachmen Haman, every person in the street, completely bent down and subjugated themselves to Haman. He had world domination. One person didn't. Mordechai didn't. Mordechai is the only person who refused to bow down to him. What did he say to his wife? V'kol zeh nena shavali. Nothing is worth anything to me. Suicidal. Why? Because one person refused to bow down to him. That's it. Nothing is worth anything. Any wealth I have, any person I see in the street who bows down to me, it's nothing. You know why? Because one person refuses to bow down to me. Kol zeh nena shavali. What does he want to do because of that? He wants to kill Am Mordechai, Noshim Anoshim Ataf. He wants to go down and completely butcher a whole nation of men, women, and children who are related to Mordechai as a religion. Kill them all out. Why? Because one person refuses to bow down to him. That is a typical example of what money and power can do to corrupt a person. The Gemara says in Chulin, Haman min haTorah minayim. Where's Mekor of Haman? What's the answer, says the Gemara? Hamin ha'eitz hazeh. Hamin ha'esh said, is it from this tree? So Hamin, hey mem nun, Hamin ha'esh says Haman. Ask him a farshim, very nice, it's the same letters. But what's it got to do with Haman? On that they say, that is Haman. In Gan Eden, they had everything going for them. They had malochim serving them hand and foot. They had every single treat, they had every single pleasure. There's only one thing they couldn't do. They couldn't eat from those two trees. Eitz Hadas and Eitz HaChaim. They couldn't eat from those two trees. And what did they say? Ah, I can't. I need it. Hamina Eitz HaZeh. From this tree, I need this tree. In other words, here they had world domination. They're living up there in the most marvelous, beautiful situation, but they can't eat from this tree. I need to eat from this tree. Get rid of me, but I need this tree. That is Haman. He has everything going for him. Hamina itzazeh, the kol zeh nena shoveli, nothing's worth it for me. And therefore he went out to destroy the whole Am Mordechai. That is the power of money. On the other hand, a tzaddik works a complete other way. You see, Yaakov Avinu, as soon as he got a little bit of wealth, and he got a little bit of success in the financial world, what did he say? Katointi mekol hachasadim, I've become small. He feels indebted. He feels obliged. He feels he has to do more for Rabbeinu Shlomo. He feels he has to do more chesed. And therefore, he is constantly, constantly looking out to help people, to serve people, to give back at Kodesh Baruch Hu a little bit what is given him. And therefore, we see two sides of the coin. We see on one hand, we have Haman, and on the other hand, we have Tzaddikim, who work as much as they possibly can in order to give back to Rabbeinu Shlomo. He gave Maisa. He always looked at what he can possibly do. For this reason, says Rav Moshe, we gave a half a shekel that was from Kesef. Not from Nechishas, it's from Kesef. Says Rav Moshe, normally we look for Shlemus. Give one whole. Give one whole Nechishas one. Why half a Kesef? So he says, in anything that requires the basics, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want. In other words, wood, you need for building. Stone, you need for building. Copper, you need for building. Once you get to silver, you don't need silver. Silver is extra. Silver is luxury. He says the danger kicks in that a person can either be someone who is totally towards Haman or totally towards Tzidkus is when the extras start kicking in, when you had the Kesef. And therefore, only with that Kesef, with that material of Kesef, when it begins the luxuries, that is when the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, stop. Stop. You have now luxuries. You have now wealth. You have a little bit more. Be very, very careful now. Be very careful, because once you have a little bit more than you actually need, that is when the Yetzer Hara comes in and you start overpowering people and you start getting this tremendous hunger for more wealth and for more power and for more leadership over other people's lives. And therefore be extremely careful that with the Kesef, that is where I want to make sure that you can be very careful. Therefore bring Kesef. Take Kesef. And by all means, half. Half is for you, and half is for me. Half is for you, half is for me. By all means, use it for your own pleasure. No problem. As long as you remember that it's all about me, I gave it to you in the first place. I am the one who you are obliged to make sure that you serve. I am the one who tells you what to do with your money and help other people. You can keep your kesef. That's half. You take a half a silver coin, which is luxury, and you say, Rabbeinu Shlomo, it's for you. Half is for you and half is for me. And that, says Rav Moshe is Peshat, that because we have the bracha of money, we have a danger perhaps to be like Haman or Rasha. Perhaps we'll take that money and power and fame and use it for our rock for the disadvantage. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lefikoch Hikdim Shikleihem. That is why I gave you the parasha of Machzis HaShekel, to teach you this lesson of how you should be dealing with money, and that way you won't fall in the same way Haman fell in. That's the Fikah Chiktim. The Fikah Chiktim does not mean the schus of Machzor Shekel somehow overpowered Haman. It's the lesson of Machzor Shekel, that you can take something that's luxury, and you can use it for the right, use it for the correct purposes, and that way you can serve a Kodesh Baruch Hu in the correct way. That will make sure that it will prevent you from becoming like a Haman Harasha. And that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I can give you wealth, I can give you success, I can give you wonderful things, because your idea of what you should be doing with it is not going to Chas V'Shalom lead you to what Haman will be doing with it. And if I didn't give you this parasha, if I didn't give you the Machzor Shekel, then Chas V'Shalom, a person who Kodesh Baruch Hu blesses with abundance, will end up like Haman. Lesser Fikah Chiktim. Clear? And he says, and he carries on and he says, that's Peshat as well, the Gemara says, in Daf Tezayin Medalev, Osam Moli Kum Sakimcha Ditchu, a little bit of Kemach, a Kmitza of Kemach, a little bit of Kemach of yours came along, V'dochi Asora Alfei Kikrei Kasper Didi, and went against the 10,000 pieces of silver from mine. What's a Shaykhus? A bit of Kemach, a bit of this. So he says a Kemach is talking about a Korban Oimeh. Korban Oimeh brings you tremendous shefa, tremendous bracha in your panasa, in your tevuah. But with a little bit of kemach, knowing this Rebbeinu Shalom is from you, and I've got to deal with my mami in the correct and healthy way the Torah tells me to deal with it, that overpowered my amount of money that got me so turned off the derech, that got me into such a rosha that I became today. That's Peshat. Your little kemach that you gave your focus, and that prevented you from becoming me. That's Peshat, says Ramesha, is an idea of Machzor Shekel. And that's a Shaykhus with Homon. Okay? So here we have Hamina Eitzazeh. Here we have a person who is actually totally involved in looking after himself, looking after his own interests, overpowering other people. One person doesn't do what he wants because they're Nenu Shavali. That is Homon. And that is Chas V'Shalom. We don't get the message of Machzor Shekel, what we could be. Okay? Let's work with the opposite. Let's work with the opposite. Where is Mordechai in the Torah? Where is Mordechai Merumas in the Torah? In this week's parasha, Parashas Kisiso, if you look in Perek Lamed, yep, that's right, in Perek Lamed, Pasuk Chof Beis. Pasuk Chof Gimel, sorry. Va'ato kachlecho, this is dealing with the Shemen HaMishchal, the oil that was used for anointing. Va'ato kachlecho besamim roish, mor deroyer, used for the head of the samim, mor deroyer. And on that, the Gemara says, and Unklus explains, Mor Deroyer is Meiro Dachyo. Meiro Dachyo is Mordechai. So I always felt sorry for Mordechai. Always felt sorry for him, you know. Homon gets a posuk, mamash a word in the posuk. Hamina Eitzazeh. So he's got Hey Men Nun, you know, in the posuk, in the Torah itself, he's got his name mentioned there. Nebuch, poor Mordechai, has got to get some Unklus to bring him in. Now, why wasn't he Zoicha to get his name in the posuk itself? Yeah. Unklus says it's Meredachia. Homon got a Homon. And Esther got a Noicha Haste Aste. Yeah? But poor Mordechai, Meredachia. Yeah, very nice. I felt a bit sorry for him. Unklus written Baruch HaKodesh. So therefore, really it's from Sinai. It's from Sinai. So, but we need to come on to the, you know, Unklus Meredachia. Shkoyach, you know, so. Number one. Number two, Shkoyach. So Mordechai is Meredachia, you know, he is this murderer. That is Mordechai. Ah, you know, this spice is Mordechai. Wow. What do we learn from it? Well, how does that represent Mordechai? So the Gemara, the Medrash says about Mordechai, it says, Shokul Mordechai b'doyere k'moshe b'doyere. Mordechai in his generation was valued in the same way Moshe Rabbeinu was valued in his generation. It says, "Tichsev lulei Moshe b'churi omad b'peretz." If Moshe Rabbeinu did not stand in the peretz, in the vacuum, Klaisel would have been destroyed. Chay Mordechai doyers toiv l'amim. Mordechai also did that. What does that mean? Look in this week's parasha, Rabbi Yisai. What happened to Moshe Rabbeinu? Klal Yisrael thought Moshe Rabbeinu was nifta. Okay. First of all, Moshe Rabbeinu was Nifta, and that's why the excuse was to bring the Egel. Do we see any Hespedim in this week's parasha? Do we see any Avelis in this week's parasha? Do we see Klal Yisrael mourning, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu making a whole week of Hespedim and Avelis? Nothing. Completely ignored Moshe Rabbeinu. In fact, you know what? Let's bring something else. A very, very quick and easy alternative. Let's make an Egel, and everyone starts dancing around it, and Gishmak, and fantastic. Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu finally has a replacement. Where's our Kurs HaToiv? Where's appreciation to somebody who worked so hard to get you out of Mitzrayim? Who brought you down the Torah? Nothing! Oh, Moshe Rabbeinu was not Avelus, nothing! That's a leader. A leader is somebody who cares about the person himself, with absolutely no look and no attempt to get credit for what he's doing. And afterwards, there's somebody that even have timers on you. They have complaints, and you keep going. I read a beautiful piece, it's an excellent, excellent book. It's a very thick book, and if you have plenty of time, Bainer's money, it's worthwhile reading. Ramosha Scherer. Ramosha Scherer, the ultimate Aguda activist, the ambassador for Frum Jewry in America. He did an unbelievable job taking this frumpled Nebuch appearance of a Haredi Jew and giving it elegance and giving it style and representing it to the correct people with eloquence and with fantastic finesse, and he's able to get to places and bring Agudas Yisrael to places of political power that was absolutely not thought of before he came along. And he had a cousin called Mike Tress. Mike Tress was also one of the biggest of Aguda, and he worked very hard with Vada Tzala. Tremendous, tremendous people. Mike Tress said to Moshe Scherer, "You should just know that if you're getting involved in Tzibur, do not ever expect a thank you. Ever. And in fact, if nobody gives you Tzoros, be very grateful. But a thank you you're not going to get." Moshe Rabbeinu, he's been Moshe Nefesh. He's done what he can. Now he dies. Let's find a golden calf. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, bye-bye. Let's get a golden calf. Nothing. No Kurs Tov, nothing. Mordechai is exactly the same. What did Mordechai do? Mordechai gave the Musa beforehand. Mordechai is Moshe Nefesh. Every day he's finding out what's going on with the Klal Yisrael, going around making tshuva. What wasn't he doing? And at the end, Rotsu the Rov Ochiv. Some, you know, most people liked it, not everybody. There are plenty of people that had timers against him. But he moved on. This was somebody in political power who had strength to say, you know what? You have to like me. I'm gonna ram my shitters down your throat because I'm in charge over here. No. Mordechai is exactly the opposite. Mordechai is working with what has to be done with no recognition, with no appreciation. That is the exact opposite to Haman. In fact, the Gemara says, Shokul Mordechai, no Gemara, it's a Medrash. Shokul Mordechai ka Moshe. Mordechai and Moshe were similar. Moshe gaya geirim, in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a lot of geirim around. Mordechai gaya geirim. Mordechai also was gaya geirim. Alidei Moshe kiblu ha-Torah, through Moshe they received the Torah. Alidei Mordechai gam came through Mordechai as well. Elo, she Moshe hoi alidei kfir, Moshe forced them. Mordechai alidei rotzen. Through Mordechai is done through rotzen. Where do we see that? Where do we see that? Where do we see the threat through Mordechai is done through rotzen in who what he represents? So there's a very, very big machlokes rishonim. What does it mean? More. What is more? I don't know what more is. Again, over here, atakachol chol besamim roish, more dror. Take more. What is more? What is this? Besamim called more. So if you look in all the mafarshim over here, you know, the Rashbam, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, there's a very, very big discussion what it is. The Ramban, the Raiva, the Rabbeinu Bechaya say it is a spice, I don't know how to pronounce this, M-Y-R-R-H.
Myrrh.
Okay? It's myrrh. So myrrh is a wild plant. It comes from a gum resin. Yeah, I've done a research over here. And that's what it is. Yeah, it's a plant. It's a wild plant. Okay? The Barbanel, yeah. The Radak, and the Sadia Gon hold that it's not a plant at all. It's a musk. Okay, what is a musk? Anyone know what a musk is?
It's an animal pheromone.
A musk is an extract taken from a musk deer. There's a deer called a musk deer. A deer is a small, limbed, hornless deer. Okay, this is a lot of research here. And there's a little sac beneath the abdominal skin of the male musk deer. And from that, you extract a very strong perfume. So there's machlokas what actually what it is. Is it myrrh or is it this musk? There's machlokas we're showing you what it actually is. Now, so more, let's go on the shit of more means from this animal. Okay? More is from this animal, which a lot of Rishonim hold it is. What does Dror mean? Paul says more. What does Dror mean? What's Dror? Anyone know? Basisan Dror talks about by Yovel Dror. Dror means free. Freedom. So what does more Dror mean? A free musk deer. What pshat?
Like a pure
mirror. What pshat? The pshat is that there's two ways of keeping this deer. Some people keep the deer in captivity. You know, you home grow it and you keep it in a fenced off area, and it's a domesticated animal. And some of them are out in the wild. Says the Torah, I don't want the fenced in animals. I don't want the animals that are pressurized to live in an area that against their will. I want more dror. I want the free-range deer. I want the ones that are out in the wild. I want the ones who you actually get because you're getting their perfume from no pressure. That was Mordechai. Mor Doror represents Mordechai. No kfir, no pressure. No pressure. I'm going to bring you into Klal Yisrael. I'm going to make you love the Torah without me putting my agenda over you, ramming it down your throat. That is not me. I'm a tremendously powerful person now. He took over Haman, but never did he do anything that pushed somebody down because of his pressure. Horaya, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says in Shkolim, Psachya was responsible for the birds in the base of Migdosh. Says Moro, who's Psachya? Psachya Lakinim. Psachya was the one who's responsible for the birds. Who's Psachya? Psachya, says the Mishnah, Zeh Mordechai. That was Mordechai. Why? Shoya Pisach b'dvorim b'dorshon. He knew how to darshan very complicated things. Also, v'yodea shivim noshim, he knew 70 languages. Why do you have to get to know 70 languages? Why is it important to know 70 languages? What's great about within his name to know 70 languages? So I understood it. I went to France a few years ago. And I went to a shop, a very, very big department store. If anyone's been to Paris, there's a huge, beautiful department store called Lafayette. It's incredible. And I went inside there and I asked them something, you know, and I don't speak French, okay? I speak other languages. Yiddish doesn't go over well so well over there. I don't speak French. So I asked them in English, which is, to most of the world, it's a second language or first language at least. They ignored me. They turned their back. They ignored me, okay? So I said, so I thought she doesn't understand English. I said, stupid French woman. So she looked around and gave me this glare. I said, oh, you do understand English. Please, can you please show me where the, you know, the handbags are, right? So why doesn't she speak to my language? You know what? You speak to me in my language. You're in France here. Yeah, but I'm trying to give you money. And in your shop, in order to be a customer, makes no difference. In France, you speak as a French. When there's a war and the whole France will fall into pieces, no, we'll call over the British to help you along, you know, because like we've done every single war for the last over 1,000 years. And we'll save you again and again, no appreciation. But when you come to my shop to give me money, you speak in French because you are in France. Mordechai spoke 70 languages. He is a God Lador. 70 languages means whoever you are, I will try and speak your language. I will get down to your level. Don't feel under any pressure to speak my language. I'll get down and speak your language. That was a definition of Mordechai. And Lulei Dinistapina, in other words, Aniel Cotton, I'm saying, Nas Peshat perhaps, why we had to get the Targum to explain what Mordechai is. Because that's what represented Mordechai. You understand? In other words, from the Peshat Apostle, it's not Peshat. But because Mordechai is one who knew 70 languages, and he represented going down to a different person's level and speaking their language, Dafka, the Targum, is used to describe who Mordechai was. Because Mordechai was described as speaking other languages. That's why I had to come onto the Targum, Moradachya.
Because he was the Targum of the people.
He was the humble.
He was the one who represented, explained different languages. That was his greatness. No pressure. From the wild, that is Mordechai. That is Mordechai. Completely the opposite to Haman. Why is the duck responsible for birds? Because in most times, come up every time, you brought a bird, birds came in pairs. Always looking out for the other person. Machlus HaShekel. Bringing in the other person to what's going on. That was Mordechai. Okay? I want to go one stage further. And this is my Kiddush, and I think it's Emes. If we look in the Megillah, how are we introduced to Mordechai? How are we first time introduced to Mordechai? Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habira, this Jewish man in Shushan Habira, Ushmoy Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shimi Ben Kish.
Ish Yimini.
Okay? Yair Ben Shimi, let's stop there. Who is Shimi?
Shimi
Ben Gera. Who was Shimi Ben Gera?
He was a Baal Lashon Hara.
A person who gave David HaMelech a mouthful. V'hu kilalali klonon emretzes. He saw David HaMelech and gave David a powerful, most terrible, terrible klala. Right? And now we're introducing Mordechai, the savior of Klal Yisrael. Ah! He was a grandson of Shimi. Why bring out the skeleton out of the closet the first time we talk about Mordechai? Leave him! Mordechai is a great tzaddik. You have to stop bringing Shimi ben Gera in here. What for? Why do you do this? What happened to Shimi ben Gera? See, he gave David HaMelech a klala. What happened to that klala? Did David HaMelech kill him immediately? He could have. Moibra Malchus. So what did he do? The last thing David HaMelech said to Shlomo HaMelech before he dies, it's brought down in Melachim Aleph. David HaMelech called Shlomo HaMelech in and said, listen. He said to him, "Vehinei imcha Shimon ben Gera bevachorim who kilani klala nimres." Gave him a terrible klala. Va'ata al tenekeu. Do not let him go. Ki ish chochamato. You're a clever man. Make sure he does not get away with this. And then David HaMelech, but Yishkov, David im avoysov. David HaMelech went and rested with his forefathers. David HaMelech died. The last thing David HaMelech said was to Shlomo HaMelech, get back to Shimon ben Gera. Asks Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, Gevaltin Gushrim. David HaMelech is trying to give over a message to Shlomo HaMelech, L'chochem Mekol Adam. This is going to be a king who's going to be reigning for years and years over Klal Yisrael to build a base of Mikdash. The last thing he says to him, oh yeah, I've got a bit of an unfinished business to do. Shimi ben Gera gave me a klodder, get rid of him. Give him a bit of good advice, give him a bracha, give him a shmak of vatoira. What is this idea of telling him about Shimi ben Gera just before he dies, who can only call him Retzes, I've got unfinished business, kill him. If it meant so much to you, kill him beforehand. Why wait till just before you die? Says Rechaim Shmulevitz, you know why? Because nekoma is only mutter if you're doing it for the right reasons. Revenge cannot have any ego inside it. David HaMelech said, who knows if I'm killing Shimon ben Gera because of my own ego, or it is because of he spoke against me and that was a chil Hashem of a murid b'malchus. All his life he wasn't sure. Until he came to his last moment of life. And this is when a person gets absolute clarity. A person is so clear, his ego falls away, his personality falls away, all that comes out is his truth. And he says, now I know that the real time has come, now go along and kill him. Because now I know that it's really a chiyuv to do, not because I have any ego in this, it's nothing with me involved over here. That is why I should go and kill him now, says Chaim Shmulevitz. Okay? So here we have somebody, Shimi ben Gera was killed, was told about to be killed, by a David HaMelech who has ultimate power over Klal Yisrael, but no, I'm not going to ram my power over anybody else unless it's absolutely pure. Unless I know what I'm doing has a very good purpose. How did he get killed? In the end, what did Shlomo HaMelech do in order to get rid of Shimon ben Gera? No, I would have sent over a assassination team and with a sight, you know, and you see him walking out the house, bam, knock him off. No, what did he do? Shlomo HaMelech called him in, and he said to him, Shimon ben Gera, listen to me. Vayishach HaMelech, vayikol Shimi, vayoyim aloi, b'nei lecho bayis b'Yerushalayim, build yourself a house in Yerushalayim, vayesh v'shom, and dwell there. Leiteitse misham, honor v'honor, do not go out of there. V'hoyo b'yoyim tseischo, the day you will leave, v'avartes nachal HaKidroin, and you cross over nachal HaKidroin, yedea teda kimois tomos. By all means, I'm going to allow you to live. Live in Yerushalayim. But the day they leave Yerushalayim, you're dead. What did Shimon ben Gera say? V'yemi Shimi, the Melech. Toi v'adobo. Wonderful. Fantastic. Kashadibe Adonai HaMelech. I will do. Avdecho v'yesha Shimon ben Yerushalayim yomim rabim. He lived there for many years. Ask Chaim Shmulevitz. 1 second. David HaMelech asked the last thing he wanted while he was alive was Shimon ben Melech should go along and kill Shimi. What's he doing? Yeah, build a house in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was the capital of the world. It was the capital of the most beautiful city in the world. Rebbeinu Shlomo city. People never left Yerushalayim all their life. And here he says, I'm not going to kill you. Build a house in Yerushalayim. I don't understand this. He told him to kill him. He says, build yourself a house in Yerushalayim. That sounds fantastic. It seems like a reward, not a punishment. What happened in the end? He made a shvur. He would not leave Yerushalayim. And the Pasuk says, 3 years later, two of his abodim left, Shimon ben Gera ran away, and when he came back, Shlomo HaMelech killed him. Why did he run? Why did he leave? Two abodim left. So what? So two abodim left. It's worth dying, worth being killed because two abodim leave. Doesn't make sense. Why did he do this? Says Chaim Shmulevitz, you know why? Because Shlomo HaMelech knew that he could be living in the most beautiful place in the world, and he could be living in a place where the Shechina and his wonderful people around and Shurim and everything going on around you. But as soon as you say you're not allowed to leave, the beautiful walls of Yerushalayim become prison walls. And the only desire you have is to break away and to leave. The Shvuah is pressure. Living in Yerushalayim was the biggest pressure in the world. And eventually after 3 years he cracked. Because that is a koyach of pressurizing people. And that Shimi ben Gera fell right into the trap of Shlomo HaMelech, because Shlomo HaMelech realized that he can have the most beautiful place in the world, but if you put pressure on people, they're going to crack. That was Shimi. Shimi ben Gera, his din Torah was through David HaMelech, who only was willing to kill him when he had no ego, when he knew absolutely there is nothing in him that has any vengeance, only for the sake of Hashem Shemayim. Shimi ben Gera died because ultimately he was put under pressure and his taiva to leave was stronger than his sense of staying in Yerushalayim. Mordechai learned this lesson. Mordechai ben Yoyi ben Shimi, he looked at his grandfather and saw how his grandfather died and he realized what ego can do. Learn from David HaMelech what to do with people. How to deal with people in a way that is chas v'shalom not involving your own ego, not putting the power over anyone else. And learned by his grandfather's death that ultimately putting pressure, even the most wonderful pressure, can break a person. That was Mordechai. And that's Mordechai. That's why you've got to have free range. Free range! And that is going to keep a person sane. That's going to keep a person correct. That's this week's parasha. I want to just finish off with a couple of ideas over here. The Chassam Sefer says, Ze yitnu, kolo oiva la pkudim, maxis ha-shekel b'shekel ha-kodesh. What's that, kolo oiva la pkudim, or oiva? What's the Russian oiva? He says, and I want to say this, in other words, how does one motivate oneself to become a homon, chas v'shalom, or prevent oneself from becoming a homon, or become a Mordechai? How does one deal with this? How, on a day-to-day basis, on a moment-to-moment basis? So he says, the Gemara says, Lo oylam yira odam atzmik ila chetzi chai v'chetzi zakai. A person, or Gemara Kedushin says, a person always got to see themselves as a half-half. Im oisim mitzvah achas, if he does one mitzvah, he is machriya himself and the whole world to chus. Does one aveir, he is machriya himself and the whole world to choiv. So he says, Rav Chassan Saifa, Ze yitnu, this is how you will give. Ze yitnu, if you look at ze, if you look at this vot, yitnu, you'll always be able to give to the stalker. How? Kol oiver ala pkudim. What's oiver? If a person does a virus, he's oiver, he transgresses pkudim. Pkudim Hashem Yishorim, the command of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. That if a person knows that he's oiver ala pkudim, he knows he's done many averus in his life. Right? But, therefore, what's going to happen now? If he does one mitzvah, what's going to be? Kol oiver ala pkudim. Mimachzis Hashekel. He should understand that his machzis hashekel, the shekel, the scale is exactly machzis, half-half. Which scale? The shekel ha-kodesh, the scale in Shemayim is exactly half-half. He does one mitzvah, he does eschus for himself and the whole world. Ze yitnu. That's how a person will be able to be motivated to always give to the correct things. Ze yitnu. How? Understand that whenever you over various, there's a certain amount of various that you've got to deal with, and therefore machzis shekel v'shekel ha-kodesh. Rabbi, so this week's parasha is all about machzis shekel. Either becoming a homon rachman al Islam or becoming a Mordechai. Either using your pressure to increase the stability of Klal Yisrael, and not chas v'shalom ramming anything down their necks, learning from Shimon ben Gera, learning about the whole story over there, becoming a Mordechai, becoming a Mordechai, or becoming a Homan HaRosh, or Hamin HaEitzazeh, that unless he has absolute control over every person's life, you're finished. The Shulchan Aruch ends, in Arachayin Tofrei Salizayin, the last halacha, the Shulchan Aruch says, Yoim Yudalad V'tesvav Sheba Adar, on the 14th, 15th of Adar, I'm going to halacha Shein now, yeah, Bador Rishon, the first Ador, Ein Neifin Al Pneim. You don't do Tachnun. The Ein Oimim Mizma Yanach Hashem B'Yom Tzor. You don't say Yanach Hashem B'Yom Tzor. V'Asurim Be'Hesved B'Tanis. You can't make a spadim. You can't fast. Avoshad Devorim Ein Oigim B'Hem. Other halachas, Tanan Sevenim, Shoach Monis, do not apply. V'Yesh Oimim De'af Be'Hesved B'Tanis Matorim. Machaber brings, some people say, they are out of the Hesved B'Tanis. Says the Ramah, Vahaminuk kesvar shayna, the minuk is like the first shitta that you do not fast, you don't do any tanesim. And he carries on and he says, Yesh oimrim shechayv laharbois b'mishteh b'simcha b'yudalud shabadorishon. there's a minhag to yes have be marbid mishtav simcha to have a proper meal. They noyagim kain. That's not the minhag. By the way, he brings it from the Rif and the Tor. Yeah, the people have a whole suda on Purim Kotum. I think the Rebbe still do that. They noyagim kain. That's not the minhag. Mikol mokoyim yarbek tzav the suda. A person should increase a little bit the suda. Could they lotzi today a machmirim in order to fulfill the day machrim? V'toiv leiv mishtav tamid. And a person who is a toiv leiv, who got a good heart, he's always mishtav tamid. And that's how he finishes off Aruch Chaim. Toiv leiv mishtav tamid. The Rebbe would say that the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim begins, Shavisi Hashem and Negdei Tomid, have a Kosh Baruch Hu fear in front of you, Tomid, and Aruch Chaim ends, V'toiv leiv mishtav tamid, finishes also with a toiv leiv mishtav tamid. That's Peshat they say, Shnaim layoim tamid. You've got to, every day you've got to have, the Prophet says, Shnaim layoim tamid, two tamidim a day. Focus on two tamidim a day. Shavisi Hashem and Negdei Tomid, and Toiv Leiv Mishtav Tamid. But how do you become to a level that you can be Toiv Leiv? How can you enjoy Gashmias? How can you get to a stage where you have the Sa'uda and you're actually growing from the Sa'uda? That's if you start off with Shavisa Hashem and Negdei Tamid. When you begin with Yerushalayim and go through the entire Aruch Chaim, you can reach the end with Toiv Leiv Mishtav Tamid. Even when you're enjoying Gashmias, even when you're actually sitting down by a meal, you can actually grow through the Shefa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can grow through the greatness like we discussed. If you learn through the Halachas properly, if you learn through the Torah properly, beforehand it's Tav Shulchan Aruch, it's Shvish Hashem Negdei Tamid. What can I do? How can I enjoy myself? I'm going to have Yerushalayim the whole time. But once you learn through the parashas of Machzor Shekel, and you learn through the parashas of how to deal day to day with one's life, then you can come to the end of Shulchan Aruch, V'toiv Leiv Mishtav Tamid. You can have a Simcha, and you can enjoy Gashmis in the correct way, because ultimately this is the idea of Purim Kotan, and that's the idea of Parshas Kisiso.